going back over this past week, we've had a mixed bag of data coming out of the United States. There are still some indicators which are pointing towards the Fed having a little more work to do. So amongst those are things like initial jobless claims, the weekly ones, are still suggesting there's some residual strength running through the labour market. The most recent weekly one came down to 228,000 from 232,000, so it's actually quite a low reading. But we had the non-farm payrolls came out right at the end of the week, and whilst there's still some strength in some of the indicators, their non-farm payrolls themselves were stronger than expected, actually lifted by 187,000. The market was looking for 170,000 there. Middle of the previous month was revised down to 157,000. The other indicators that came out alongside that were actually on the softer side. So we had average hourly earnings, which were up only 0.2%. Rather than 0.3% expected. That brought back the annual growth in average hourly earnings to 4.3% from 4.4%. And the unemployment rate, we're getting more workers coming into the system through the participation rate. So the unemployment rate actually lifted by 0.3 from 3.5 to 3.8. So it's a real mixed bag there as far as looking towards the Fed, what it might do next with rates in the US. Some of the other indicators that came out of the US last week, we had their preferred indicator of inflation, the July core personal consumption expenditure deflator. That one was still holding up. The annual rate of change in that went up to 4.2% from 4.1%. So that, if anything, militates against the Fed going easy for the time being. And we also had the August reading of consumer confidence. This one actually slipped down to 106.1 from 114. That was unexpected. So it's a real mixed bag. I'm waiting to see how that data settles down. If anything, it means that the Fed's got more reason to stay on hold for the time being, even though the things that are worrying it, and one of the key things that's worrying the Fed, is that coming out of one of the Fed districts, they do a tracker of where GDP is likely to go to in the next quarter. And the tracker at this stage is showing that GDP, which on revision that we got last week, was running at 2.1% annualized in Q2, is going to roar up to something around about 5% annualized in Q3. Now, obviously, that's way too strong. If we don't get some further data through September that brings that tracker back, that's one of the factors which suggests we should expect at least one more interest rate hike out of the Fed at some point. Moving through to this week, much quieter in the US. Labor Day, holiday for Monday, there's that old adage in the US, particularly when they're referring to the stock market over there, which is sell in May and go away, don't come back to Labor Day. And it's that seasonality which tends to give you quite a good lift that runs through risk assets in the very late part of the year. It may apply again because at the moment, the US is moving towards a sort of soft landing for economic activity. The only fly in the ointment is whether the Fed has to keep hitting it over the head with higher interest rates. But later this week, we won't get a lot more data. We'll get things like unit labour costs for the last quarter, just a revision of that. They've come down actually quite nicely from the first quarter. They're at 1.6% quarter on quarter after being 4.2%, which is way too high the time before. We've got the ISM non-manufacturing PMI coming out. That was sitting at 52.7. last month. That comes out on Wednesday. That might come back a little bit to 52.6. But other than that, it's going to be a fairly quiet week. And the moment, sort of least line of resistance for US risk assets at this stage, is still upwards, even though US risk assets look very overvalued relative to other markets overseas. So that pressure's there until it gets hit by the imminent risk of the Fed raising rates further, which is just not there for the time being with the way the data's falling. Now, moving to China. Last week, we had purchasing managers' indices came out. They were okay-ish, but still suggest problems with the Chinese economy. there's talk in the Chinese economy about some further stimulus that can come through. The problem with that is that the stimulus is not hitting where it needs to hit, and where it needs to hit is the household sector. The household sector in China at this stage is still very much wedded to saving rather than spending, and that's the part that's got to start taking over from investment spending in China. The rate of return on investment is very, very low. In any case, you've got a highly problematic property sector now, which is very much on the verge of implosion. So that's not exactly all that helpful. It's very hard to rescue that when you've got chronic oversupply of things like housing in China. The other driver in the past has been Chinese exports. They're not going particularly well either. We're going to hear a bit more about that this week. So on Thursday this week, we'll get the latest trade data out of China. And they're down substantially year on year, and that's not surprising given that we're into a softening trend with global economic growth. So exports in July were down 14.5% year on year. They're expected maybe to improve a little bit to 9.8%. There is a quirk in the Chinese export story. One area where the Chinese are doing particularly well is in producing electric cars. They're getting a bigger share of electric cars around the world. And one of the reasons is that putting together electric cars is far fewer moving parts in it. The type of quality control they have in China and the way they manufacture items, they really are in a very good position to produce those cars at a reasonable price into world markets. So the share of Chinese electric cars is skyrocketing, but it's about the only part of the export story which is going well in China. The rest is actually looking pretty soft. And on the import side too, we'll get their import data, and this reflects that weakness running through household spending in China. Imports down 12.4% year on year, going back to July. They may improve a little bit to minus 8.8%, but it's still a soft trend that's running through China. Every now and then, when the Chinese do announce some measures to try and poke at the economy, that gets the markets excited that things are going in the opposite direction. There's a little bit of that late last week, but they don't tend to persist because the parts of the economy which really need to move, getting the savings rate down for the household sector, getting the spending of the household sector up, and that's beyond the Chinese government to influence that at the moment. Later in the week too, we'll see another part of the Chinese problem. We get their August CPI comes out, and China uniquely is sort of on the verge of deflation at the moment. Going back to July, the CPI was up only 0.2%, and the year-on-year change was minus 0.3%. So you're on the verge of deflation there, and their producer prices going back a month ago were falling at 4.4% year on year. So that data coming out of China through the course of the week. Here in Australia, we had some interesting readings, both contributions to Q2, some update on inflation, and also on retail sales. July retail sales, they were a little bit stronger than expected, a bit of a surprise, but they don't negate the weakness that was there in June. So we had a 0.5% month-on-month rise in July retail sales. They were expected to be up only 0.3%, but that comes after falling 0.8%. The year-on-year is only 1.2%, and that's actually been declining. It was 1.5% year-on-year going back to the month of June. So a bit against the grain of the softer demand that's been running through, but not dramatically so. We then had various housing indicators came out. So we had July home building approvals. These were weak again, down another 6.4% after falling 7.3% the month before. And these speak towards continuing issues running through the home building sector, which don't get a lot of air. Well, they do get some airplay, but this is a sector that's in real trouble, and it's sort of we're not hearing as much about it as probably we should. And we also had July home loans came out, and these continue to fall. So against the stories of the lack of supply in housing and how that's pressuring up prices, and even that story, is now becoming more confined to two areas. That's basically Sydney and Brisbane. When you're looking at house prices elsewhere around Australia, they're faltering and coming down in many cases. So it's the pressure points even there are very, very idiosyncratic to a couple of cities now. But when we're looking at the home loan data, that's religiously falling. In July, home loans were expected to be down by 1%. The value of home loans, they were down by 2.3%. That follows a 3% fall the month before. So it gives you some idea that there is some pressure there in the housing. It's not quite the way it's being reported in the press. This is a sector which is really suffering. But set against that, we had some Q2 construction work done, and also some private capex data came out for Q2. And this was on the firmer side of expectations. Business investment spending construction work, based off the strength we've had going backwards in the economy, has still got some residual strength running through it. So second quarter construction work done was up 0.4%. That was after an upwardly revised 3.8% rise for Q1. Private capital expenditure was up 2.8%. That was after 3.7%, an upwardly revised 3.7% for the previous quarter. So, one of the stronger parts of the economy is investment spending, which in some ways is good. We'd like to see that as being one of the stronger features, but it's not much of a counter to the other areas which are looking pretty soft. And then the highlight number probably for the week was July CPI. And we had the CPI coming down more than expected. This is the monthly series, and it came down to 4.9% year-on-year from 5.5%. If we string that together with what we've seen through this last month with the labour market data, which has been on the softer side of expectations, the wage data, one thing it gives us with some certainty is that the Reserve Bank this week, when it meets on Tuesday, is going to leave interest rates for a third consecutive month at 4.1%. And it probably even lays in store a pretty strong chance that it's going to be sitting there at 4.1% the month after and the month after that, depending on how data comes through. Now, one piece of data which the Reserve Bank won't have access to but comes out the following day, on Wednesday, is our Q2 GDP. And Q2 GDP here looks soft again. The market consensus is that we'll have a rise of 0.2% quarter on quarter. It was only 0.2% the month before. That would bring the annual growth rate down to 1.7 from 2.3. Now, that 0.2%, it's worth noting that that is actually lower than the GDP growth in the US. If we turn the US GDP into a quarter on quarter, it's just over 0.5%, so that's quite a bit below the US. And it's also less than the faltering economy of Europe. Europe was 0.3%. This is one of the reasons why we've probably got a better expectation here that the central bank can hold the interest rate at a relatively low 4.1%. than we have that the ECB will be holding rates or the Fed will be holding rates. And it's more likely that those places will be lifting rates further, or the Bank of England for that matter. And yet, in the case of the US and the UK, they've got cash rates which are more than a percentage point higher than our cash rate at the moment. So this widening interest differential between Australia and places like the US and Europe might get a bit wider still. And so whenever we get some downward pressure on commodity prices, this throws some challenges up for something like the Australian dollar. For the time being, we've got speculation about, there's going to be some stimulus in China that's helping it temporarily. But that's a very temporary thing. More often than not, the Australian dollar is going to be a depreciating currency in this type of environment. That's not necessarily problematic as far as the Reserve Bank's concerned. It does mean that inflation gets stickier for longer here. It'll be very, very hard to keep inflation down further down the track. Now, moving to Europe, and last week we had business and consumer confidence that's falling. It's down to 93.3 from 94.5. We had their August CPI, unlike here, where our July CPI was, you know, was pretty good. The August CPI in Europe is showing that inflation has got sticky. It was up 0.6% month on month. That kept the year on year at 5.3%, same as it was the month before. And even core inflation rate was 0.3%. That didn't allow the inflation rate to come down particularly far. It came back to 5.3 from 5.5. Also, the tightness of the labour market in Europe is still evident. We had the July unemployment rate came out, and that is still sitting at 6.4%. That's the lowest we've seen so far in this cycle, same as the month before. This tightness in the labour market, which is generating some pretty substantial wage claims running through Europe, is still problematic and still puts Europe on certainly on course for more interest rate hikes as we go out over the course of the next month or two. Europe, this week we'll get some PMI data. The PMI data is looking pretty soft, so it's suggesting that there's weaker growth ahead. We get July retail sales. That's expected to be down again, 0.3%, after being down 0.3% the month before, so there's some softness running through there. We'll also get revised Q3 GDP. It was 0.3% quarter on quarter in the earlier version. Don't expect that to be revised down very much, probably still sitting around about that 0.3. So it's an interesting week, quiet in the US because they've got a holiday in the data. If anything, they're on a bus for risk assets to continue improving. The pressure there, just drifting up on yields, is still there. But we've got rather the opposite in Australia, where we're going to get probably the RBA leaving rates on hold again at the meeting this week. Incidentally, that will be the last meeting to be presided over by Phil Lowe before he retires. After that, moves to Michelle Bullock, who will be taking over, but that won't make much difference to the way things are organised. We're watching towards our Q2 GDP, which is looking very, very ordinary by international comparison. Australia is becoming very much an underperforming economy now by international comparison.